Activity of prayer that stirs up the operation of Christ. The operation of Christ. Now, what I call the operation of Christ is the organic platform that gives us the opportunity to be able to pick the desires of God. The desires of God are in heaven, and anytime you hear in heaven, another meaning for that is in the spirit. They are inside of the Holy Ghost that is in your heart. And you need to trouble that fountain in order for you to get the precipitation of that which is God's desire that He wants you to know. So there is a system that has been built, but it's a spiritual system that is built to sustain you, is built to energize you, it is built to support you, and that system happens to be the functionality of the office of the Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. From verse number 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of this world and the things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things which are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Then he goes further to reveal our status, and to reveal the platform that God makes available by which He manages each and every one of us. Verse 30 is critical. It's a critical scripture. Are you there in verse 30?
Yes, sir.
He said, but of Him. Now substitute that Him and put the Father there. But of the Father are you. That means you are the Father's product. It is the Father's brand name that is upon you. You are His product. Alright? So that's a good information about our identity. Of Him, of the Father are we. That's number one. Then number two, we were domiciled on a platform. There is a place that the Father put us with which and by which He intends to manage us. We're of the Father. Are you here? And the Father has put us in Christ. So the platform that God intends to administer our purpose, administer our destiny, is that platform called in Christ. That's the only valid platform that God deals with you. Outside of Christ, God has no dealing. So in New Testament theology, are you with me? In New Testament theology, Christ is the center and the circumference. Christ is the extent and the limit of divine revelation. Let's try again. Christ is what? Is the center and the circumference. Christ is what? Is the limit and the extent of divine revelation. Now, I need to tell you this very critically, because the birth of false doctrine is taking men out of that context that God intends to manage all of us. The context that God has domiciled us. Are you with you? Are you with me? The place He put us so that He can manage us is in Christ. Alright? So the center and the circumference of divine revelation, the way we are going to know God, the crucible, the ecosystem in which we are going to know God is in Christ. Your identity in the kingdom is what you are in Christ. It is in Christ that you are saved. Outside of Christ, you are a sinner. You cannot become anything you hope to be outside of Christ. That's the context that the Father has domiciled us, because He wants to manage our lives. He wants to manage our destinies. So if you take my sister outside of Christ, she has no identity in the spirit. Now, so if we teach prosperity. Prosperity is a thing. Are you with me? You are not with me. All right. I need to tell you the meaning of the book of Hebrews. The meaning of the book of Hebrews says Christ is greater than things, is greater than places, is greater than prophets, is greater than circumstances, greater than situations, is greater than personalities. That's the whole struggle, the whole theological struggle. The edifice that was built in the book of Hebrews was just to reveal the fact that Christ is greater. The book of Colossians, the meaning of the book of Colossians is that Christ is preeminent. If we check the spirit of the emphasis of the apostles, you will find that in the pinnacle of their teaching was an exaltation of a system that the Father put in place in order to manage us. As long as your emphasis as a preacher is Christ, you will never be wrong. But if you make your emphasis prosperity, it means there is a thing that you have exalted above what? Christ. Now, when we begin to press into that thing and you believe that you are spiritually matured when you now prosper, you believe that when you have commodities and materials, that is a sign of your status with God. You have wandered out of your ecosystem. You are trying to become, and you are trying to possess what is not lost. You become a wanderer again. You lose your spiritual sense of gravity. You start searching for illusions because it was captured in the book of Hebrews that He is greater than things. He is greater than places. I know most of you, if you want to live in London and you believe that if you are in London, your breakthrough has come, you will be like Naomi. By the time you enter, the people from UK can advise you. The tax equation in that civilization alone is enough to humble a giant. So it's not about places. The place is relevant because Christ directed that is where your destiny is going to find a platform. Do you understand? If it is outside of Christ, you are in the wilderness. There is no reference to the kind of existence you are trying to establish. Satan will yet have dominion over you because your workings is not by the prescription of the command tower, which is Christ. Are you with me? Good. So one of the things that happened in the body of Christ is that people that were in the forefront of moving the church forward were not balanced in their delivery of doctrine. And the implication of that is many people have been led astray in terms of exalting things more than Christ. If we check in the last 35 years, the doctrine that has been established among we Christians in Nigeria, I don't know the case with the United Kingdom or with the church in Saudi Arabia. The Nigerian Christian is looking for a breakthrough. He's looking for a breakthrough. And he's expecting a breakthrough. The Nigerian Christian has a goal, an ambition to prosper so that he will live above the poverty line and operate dominion in terms of his finances and his possibilities. And if he arrives at that point, he believes by the hand of God, he has been able to orchestrate a breakthrough in his life. It's a proof that God is with him. The Nigerian Christian is desperately in search of deliverance, looking for a thing. Meanwhile, if you ever hear the accurate Christian testimony, are you with me? You are not with me. You see, these are sensitive issues. I need you now. If you ever hear the accurate Christian testimony, this is how it sounds. Somebody gave his life to Christ. He began to follow God. Are you with me? And then Christ in him, through his spirit, gave him direction. It is that direction that led to the manifestations in the external. Are you with me? For instance, it was here we were praying as a young lady walked up to me and said, God said I should tell you, buy land. Well, I was properly trained in the things of God. And when you receive a prophetic word which you have no idea about, what you do is that you take that word back to the place of prayer to get God's confirmation. You know why? God must speak to you through your own spirit, not through another person's spirit. That utterance is not valid until you have picked it in your spirit. Because Christ, where is the location of Christ? It took some time. I got a confirmation. And then we went to where we are now, which was bush. We started buying bush. Now, if at that time you saw us when we were measuring the land in the bush like this, you will think we are mad. Hallelujah. So Christ gave direction. So all we had was land, was enough land. And then I remembered, while I was cutting my wife said, You know this power that people fall down. She fell down that power. But before she hit the ground, she saw a vision. Don't fall empty. See something. Hallelujah. So she fell, and then she saw that she was managing a school. And all we had was land. So we said, okay, this is your school. He can enter into part of this land. Meanwhile, when we were buying the land, the school was not in view. Okay, so we have land for your school. At least we have one thing. But the money to build it was not there. But Christ, who is the wisdom of God, had directed us. Are you following? That prosperity you are looking for, the secret to how it works is Christ. Now, that person teaching you five steps to prosperity, listen, should I tell you something? If you do not consecrate yourself to God, you will not have direction. Direction is the integer of success. If God wants you to advance, He wants you to succeed, what He does is that He gives you direction. Don't claim that you have any prosperity, any tangible, lasting prosperity, without divine direction. And meanwhile, a believer that is not consecrated to God, that is not living to serve the will of God, has been excluded from the economy of direction. So most of the people, even saying, I want to break through, they have broken the first law of profiting from the Holy Spirit, because the profit that wisdom makes available is in his ability to give direction. Are you with me? And this direction that we're talking about is from Christ. Except you exalt him more than things, more than places, you will not know that he is the center and circumference. You will not know that that is where you are supposed to focus. You are supposed to focus on being loyal to him. Because from him, according to the scriptures, all things consist. So you are still looking for breakthrough. I'm no longer looking for breakthrough. What I'm looking for now is to be in alignment with Christ. And as long as I'm in alignment with Christ, the policies of heaven concerning my life will begin to flow into my heart. I will become so wise. I will know what to do under these circumstances, and I will know how to get it done. Meanwhile, you will be looking for breakthrough. And meanwhile, breakthrough is not lost. Breakthrough is in Christ. So the church is teaching an external breakthrough, which is not tied to the facility in which God domiciled us to manage us. It means you will look for long in search of that breakthrough. The church is teaching an external prosperity. A man that is consecrated to God, you don't need to ask him to give. Because a consecrated man knows that who he is, what he has, what he hopes to be is of God. So you don't need to tell him, oh, no. The real people that give, are you here, are not people that respond to pledges. There are a few of us like that. They know that all they have become, they check the past, all right? And they follow the Lord under illuminative teaching. And they saw how God transformed their lives. So you don't need to come and say, okay, we have a need. Those ones know it's their responsibility. The real givers don't wait for when there's an altar call. The real people that are consecrated to God know that God owns their substance. For this crusade, after you gave your 5,000 and left, some people have opened their bank account. If there's any expenditure, till the crusade ends, they will meet the need. Yes. Those kind of people are consecrated. They are not. They don't respond to pledge. Those ones, God spends from their pocket. I know you can't do that if you don't know the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, you won't do that. But that is how some of us have survived till now. We know that we can't drag with God with things, because Christ is superior to things. So, except we teach right in the body of Christ and show the brethren the status of things, and that Christ is superior to things, we will still be looking for breakthrough. And the people that are walking in that breakthrough are men that were consecrated themselves to God. Wisdom just comes. Not because you are wise as a person, because Christ is
wisdom.
You will know Christ as wisdom. Are you with me?
Yes,
you will know him as wisdom. You may not need wisdom until you are in a problem that your human wisdom cannot solve. Then you will know the need for wisdom. Then you will know the need for direction. And the Bible says that of him are we in Christ. He domiciled us in Christ. In that context, to manage us. Are you following? I've heard some people teach about demons. And if God permits, this evening in the crusade, I will teach about it. And the way they taught about demons, they taught about it as a thing that is a thing. You are not with me. So the average believer that sat under that teaching doesn't know his status. If you are, the devil has limited you. There is a knowledge you need first before you can pray right. Because that limitation that the devil has brought on you is illegal. There is a difference between praying to win and fighting from a position of victory. Most of the prayers we pray in our deliverance sessions are prayers that are designed for you to win. That means you don't understand that you are in a dynasty of overcoming kings, and victory was given to you without a war. And your call in Christ Jesus is to maintain the dynasty of supremacy. The way you pray under that consciousness is different from the way you pray if you are trying to achieve something. And except you have the accurate kingdom position, you will be a slave speaking in tongues. A time came I couldn't believe any pastor in Nigeria again. So I went back to the cave to study the Bible. It took me 15 years. Yes. I stopped hearing people because people lied from the pulpit and brought fetters and chains on the believers. I had to go on a study. This study cut my life off for 15 years. Hallelujah. So, I speak with authority as a man that has found mercy of God to be trustworthy. Listen, turn your Bible. Let's see it. Let's see it. Oh, time runs. I think we need a day of teaching. That's what we do. Just in the morning, we'll make tea available in the afternoon so that you can drink and recover yourself. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, whom God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You see, this Christ that God has domiciled us in, the Father can make him to become anything you need. The Father can make him to manifest as wisdom. The Father can make him to manifest as redemption. Are you with me? Now, you are not with me. See, stay with me. Stay. The Bible says, with the Lord there is mercy. And with him, there is plenteous redemption. Yes, you were redeemed by the blood. And that's the payment that was paid in order for you to inherit salvation. Are you here? But most of us, after our redemption, did not stay faithful to God. We still wandered away, entered into iniquity, did all kinds of stuff. And when you begin to obey the devil, what you are doing is that you are giving him fresh authority to plunder your life. So even after redemption, there were things you did that still gave the devil a ticket of authority. The Bible says in this Christ, there is plenteous redemption. There is another protocol of redemption that this Christ can work out so that that claim the devil has will be lost. So in this Christ. This Christ is the one that knows how you'll be delivered. This Christ. Oh, a witch is fighting you, and your health is failing. Your health. As you begin to climb in this Christ, he will now whisper to you, this is what you need to do. Then you now discover, even though you studied physics, you don't know too much. You are ignorant. The moment a situation against you is taken into the spirit realm, then your insufficiency becomes obvious. You will need this Christ. This Christ that God has domiciled us in, are you here? The Father has made him unto us wisdom. Made him unto us sanctification. Made him unto us righteousness. You see, so the reason why you are accepted in heaven is because Christ is in you. That's the center and the circumference. It is when you begin to understand how to deal with this office that you know that God is living indeed. But the preaching and teaching can distract you from that circumference, and then you are holding on to something, and you hold on to it for 25 years and discover it was vanity, because Christ is greater than things. So the deception is in teaching is that the teacher doesn't know the circumference of the Bible. So he's teaching things all through the 35 years of his ministry. And then he releases the people he's teaching diligently into a slave trade adventure. When they become old, they now discover that they wasted their life. Because in all his teaching, they did not see Christ. That's the challenge. And that's why we need apostolic recalibration. So that we can move our current oppression onto apostolic standard. You will find out that many things will not remain if we drag it to that level. Many of the things we teach in the body of Christ. Because we have a theology of things till now in the church in Nigeria. Not a theology of Christ. And that's why the average believer doesn't believe that if we take him from Jos, which is where he is, and take him to Malawi, that's Prophet Jangfa now. If we take Prophet Jangfa from Jos and take him to Malawi, where your house is not there, nothing is there. If you cannot produce the will of God in Malawi, it means you have not known Christ. And that's why we need the comfort of our background. You need the comfort of your ecosystem. If they take you outside of your ecosystem, you can't operate. Meanwhile, Jacob, he had to escape after the transaction of the birthright. The only thing we saw that he escaped with was a staff. He had to spend the night in the open field using stone for pillow. But you know what? The God of his fathers appeared to him in that open field. He was no longer, his possession was no longer a staff, but he had a promise. It was that promise that navigated him into a foreign land. And when he was coming back, he was two bands. It means that the spirit he encountered on that open field had the capacity to serve. He was no longer without possession if he had the blessing of that spirit. A man that knows Christ, take him away from things. Take him away from places. Put him in a desert. The reality of what he has contacted will produce results. But we have been exposed to a ministry of crutches. You know crutches? So that's how we are manifested. And so none of us knows the capacity of him that dwells with. The ancient missionaries that went to nations and shook nations were people that understood the wealth of the treasure that the Father domiciled us in. He's a civil engineer. He was on the site. Are you following? When God told him, I'm going to take you to a land of a people with a strange language. I tell you, I've been there. That language is strange. Portuguese is a strange language. Well, God gave him a grace. He has this thing with languages. He can easily learn the language. He preaches in Portuguese now. He's a strange man. You see, he went there with nothing. Everything that has been produced in his life now is a working of Christ. So a man that has Christ cannot be disadvantaged. And the apostolic teaching, the center of the apostolic teaching is to teach you, is to unveil the capacity and the possibilities that are tied to the operating system in which God has domiciled us, which is called Christ. Things will pass away. Things will fade. Things will become irrelevant. But Christ will always shine. Hallelujah. So it was God that directed him. And the circumstances under which he was able to move to Brazil, was there were strange circumstances. I think his wife was 9 months pregnant already. And then he wanted to arrange the wife to go first. 9 months pregnant. And in Lagos Airport, when you get there, the medical people have a machine they will use to screen the length of the pregnancy. The wife was 9 months pregnant, and she can only travel if it's 7 months pregnant. Even the machine read 7 months. Why? Because Christ was the one that led. The thing is, if you go yourself, the machine will say 13 months. Christ. The Father can make this Christ to become everything that you need for life and for destiny. The list in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 30 is not exhaustive, because it says, this Christ, the Father has made him unto us wisdom, redemption, righteousness, sanctification. Just four things are there. But when you read the entire Bible, you will hear people like David say, the Lord is my shepherd. That list is not exhaustive. In fact, I don't have time. I would have shown you in the types and shadows of the Old Testament, I can show you 1,400 typologies of Christ just in the book of Genesis and Exodus. The entire Bible is a story of this personality called Christ. Well, let me give you a summary. Maybe you will believe. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. This is Jesus speaking in verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. What are those words? That all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me. This is Jesus speaking. And he's telling us, I hope you know the Old Testament is the law of Moses, the Psalms, and the prophets. Jesus is saying that the entire subject of the Old Testament is about me. You, are you here? You are not here. You might hear Moses speaking in the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said this. But from New Testament perspective, you can hear Moses speak. Are you here? But you should listen to Christ in his words. Because the subject of the entire Old Testament is about him. He's the joker that God is about to reveal in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, the system is already established. The workings of the systems is what the apostles are trying to bring us understanding about. So the office of the Christ is managed by a personality called the Holy Spirit. Just like the governor here is the representative of the president. Are you with me? So the Holy Spirit is a person that occupies his office in your heart. And it is from that fountain. And I hope you know that Jesus, when he was introducing the Holy Spirit, he says he will not speak of himself. He doesn't add his own to it. It's like a public address system that is put in place in order for us to be able to receive what somebody is saying in another place. So it is Christ that is speaking. And the Holy Spirit provides a public address system so that we can connect with what Christ is doing. So through the Holy Spirit, we can access the operations and the ministry of the Christ. When Paul spent 3.5 years in the wilderness of Arabia, in a honeymoon, because when he gave his life to Christ, he went on honeymoon. Honeymoon of 3.5 years in the wilderness of Arabia. Some of the revelations that he came forth with, the first revelation he came forth with from Arabia was the heavenly Christ. And how that the throne of the Christ is pitched in the highest part of heaven. And the reason why the Father designed it that way is because he wanted everything. He wanted Christ to fill all things. It's on the strength of that that men like Paul in the book of Colossians began to reveal how that Christ was orchestrated, designed by God to be preeminent. Are you here? Now, so he is preeminent. If it is true, just like the ark was preeminent in the civilization of the Jews in the wilderness, Christ is preeminent. So the meaning of my life is the meaning that Christ gives me. My life must begin from his own introduction, because that is what gives me meaning. That is what gives me preeminence. If you have lived unto 21 years and you don't know why you are living, it's because you have been distracted from Christ. The day you make him your focal point, your own meaning will evolve from your concentrating upon him. The Bible says that if your eye be single, if you make Christ your unique goal, that's what that scripture means. If you make Christ your unique goal, your body will be full of light. You have so much illumination, you have so much understanding of the purpose and the will of God for your life. And meanwhile, that scripture did not say the opposite of singleness of eyes is not double eyes. The opposite of singleness of eyes is evil, according to that scripture. So if your eyes are not, your gaze is not on Christ, your gaze will lead you to evil. Any other thing you focus it on, if you focus it on money, breakthrough, as the excellent motivation for your life, you will become an evil man after a short while. You focus on material things as your goal, you will become evil in a few years' time. But if you focus on Christ, your whole body shall be full of light. He will tell you how to use your eyes. These are your eyes. When you are using it wrongly, Christ will educate you and say, this waste you are looking at, it will lead you to evil. He will tell you how to use your money. He will tell you how to order yourself. Your whole body shall be full of light. Number two. You know, we said we are talking about the budding of the first fathers. The budding of the first set of apostles that pioneered the things we read about in the scripture. So we started yesterday by saying one of the first buddings they had was to unveil Christ. I don't have time to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, because if I've not done that, I've not done a good job. But there's no time. Are you with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Notice that in Peter's great confession, Peter said, thou art the Christ, thou art the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, thou art Kepha, and upon this rock I will build my church. Upon the revelation of Jesus as the Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Unfortunately, Jesus was revealing unto us that are pastors how to build with Christ. And the way he prescribed that we should build is to build with an everything should have its roots in Christ. Prosperity should have its root in Christ. Deliverance should have its root in Christ. Do you understand that? Success should have its rooting. Everything must emanate from there, because that is the center, that is the circumference. When pastors begin to teach things, it makes the people's eyes evil. The result of that teaching will be evil. Is that clear? So, number two. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Remember, before we make the transition, the operation of Christ in your heart will become active when you give yourself to prayer. When you give yourself to prayer, then the operation of Christ becomes active. Are you here? Now listen, Jesus has the potential to sleep in the boat. Jesus can sleep in the boat. So Jesus can sleep in your heart conveniently. And he will snore there. He will snore. Even the whole power of God is available to you, but he's snoring. You will need to do something to make him active. Now, Peter and the rest of the guys felt that they were proficient fishermen, so they can handle the issue of the waves. They have mastered waves. They have mastered storms. So they allowed Jesus to sleep. So he was sleeping, and they were using their technical know-how
As long as you still have power to use your wisdom, you keep him asleep. But when they now got to that point where they had exhausted their wisdom, they had to turn back and say, "Carest not thou that we perish." When you begin to pray, then you begin to activate the operation. It means prayer is an acknowledgement of the fact that you are insufficient. I can't do it by myself. I am weak. I am impotent. So even though you are healthy, but you turn to the Lord. Meanwhile, are you here? Oh my, you are not here. The devil operates as a veil. He veils you from reality. That's his business. That's his assignment. That's how he's able to deceive generations. Deceive our forefathers. Your grandfather, they say he was a wise man, but he didn't know Jesus because he was veiled. If our gospel be hid, it is hidden unto them that are lost, of whom the God of this world has blinded their hearts and their minds. Let the light of the glorious gospel, which is the image of Christ, should shine on them. So as wise as your grandfather was, he was a veiled man. Alright? So that's what principalities, that's what they do, they veil people. But the Bible says that when the heart shall turn to the Lord, that veil of principalities will be taken away. And then the scriptures now says that the Lord, referring to Jesus, is that spirit. Now the Lord is that spirit. You need to have practiced agriculture to understand that scripture. Now, if you plant corn, corn is white, corn can be yellow. When corn germinates, it is green. It doesn't look like what it was. So the nature of things in germination is different from how they are in seed form. And meanwhile, Jesus was planted. I hope you know he was buried. Messiah was buried. And in resurrection, Paul is teaching that when he resurrected, he became that spirit. The Lord that you used to know has become that spirit in resurrection. Are you here? When your heart turns to the Lord, that veil is taken away. And in the New Testament, in resurrection, the Lord used to know that walked from Bethany to Samaria to that Lord has become that spirit. And wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is access. Liberty there means access. So in the New Testament, when you decide, I know you are a wise man, so you use your chemistry that you studied to get by for a long time, and you believe that that can sustain you until you hit the rocks, just like Peter did, then the recommendation at that point is that you turn your heart to the Lord. Now, human beings will do every other thing except pray. When you want to start becoming serious with God, the first thing, decision to make, is a decision to present your heart before God in prayer. If you have not yet come to that point, you will live in the wilderness. Not because God has sentenced you there, because you made a choice to live there. The power of the Christ will never be unveiled until you decide to turn your heart to the Lord. Because God wants you to know him personally, individually, and have confidence in him. Because everything in your family will be deployed to ensure that you don't follow the destiny God has ordained. You need to be strong. You need to know him who is alive. So when you turn your heart, then he gives you the blessing of access. And in access, you will now discover that instead of you to seek for things, seek for this Christ, and things will be added to you. Instead of you to seek to go to London for places, seek for this Christ, he will take you to places in the spirit where the things you seek are domiciled. Then you now discover that the true journey of the Christian is a journey in that pavilion, that place called Christ. Oh, then you'll find out that there are bits and pieces of your destiny that are littered across the places in Christ. And you need to migrate from one place and migrate to another place and migrate. It takes you on a tour, and you'll be stumbling on aspects of your destiny. And oh my God, it's a great pilgrimage. Going through the guided tour of places in Christ under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And then wisdom begins to come to you, season per season. Then you will now begin to see that the lines are falling. That this thing was predetermined. I'm just entering into alignment. It was already there. I'm just aligning with it. If not, your life will be the life of a wanderer that is looking for what is not lost. I have to preach the way I do, because in the last 25, 35 years, we have heard the theology of things, and the many people in the forefront of the agenda of the church have pointed us in the wrong direction. So we need to come back to the scriptures and follow the tradition of our ancestors. Our ancestors had a goal, and their unique goal was Christ. Acts chapter 1. Number 2. Acts 1. Are you there? I want to run away. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost he had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. The scriptures I just read to us is referring to a capacity building forum that Jesus put together to educate the first apostles concerning the enterprise of the labors of the kingdom. It was like a refresher course where the terminologies were defined so that there will be clarity in the discharge of their duties. In this seminar that Jesus arranged, organized, because the seminar lasted for 40 days, the Bible says it was seen of them 40 days. In this period, the subject of the seminar, that is Jesus now, taken casually from heaven, coming to earth, to tell the apostles the most important thing that will determine how they run, how they execute ministry. This scripture. The subject of the seminar was what? The things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So, the message that the apostles preached was the message of the kingdom. Because their master in the refresher class pointed to the kingdom as the emphasis. Do you realize that Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness to all people? He said, this one I'm teaching you now. If he had said, this gospel shall be preached, me and you as preachers would have added gospel of breakthrough, gospel of prosperity, gospel of demonology. So he didn't leave that one open because he knew you and me are coming. And we are very creative. So he finished it. And he said, is this not another one, but this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all nations as a witness to all people, and then the end shall come. Hey, in view of the above, I need to show us a few scriptures. Oh, you need confirmation. It's because somebody is asking me from the congregation. You see, if it is true that what Jesus emphasized for the apostles was about the kingdom, show me, the person is saying, show me an example of where they preach the kingdom. That's what that person said. I heard his thoughts. Acts chapter 8. You know, I like Jesus. Sometimes he'll be teaching and then he will hear the people's thoughts and then he will answer them. You heard. Many times when I teach, I hear people's thoughts. Acts 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached. What? Underline that. Verse 12. And when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning what?
The kingdom of God.
So underline that. Can you see that the emphasis from the beginning was Christ and his kingdom? Let me take you a little bit into this gospel of the kingdom. What are the tenets of the gospel of the kingdom? Hallelujah. You are not answering me. I said hallelujah.
Amen.
The gospel of salvation. That's the first. Can somebody give me a scripture to support the gospel of salvation? Just one. Even though it's supposed to be two. The message concerning salvation is anchored on which scripture? Which says? Okay. I won't go. I wanted to show you the 10 levels of the good news in the Bible. But because you can't answer that one that is common, let's leave it. It's okay. Oh, no problem. It's okay. Because I wanted to show you. Then if we had done that, you will see where the Nigerian church stopped. And what we have today is a deliberate, it's an intentional design to ensure that Christians in the Nigerian church are infantile. It's not a mistake that we are here. It was designed to be so. Right? That is the reason for which God will be raising prophetic and apostolic voices. Because one of the things they do is that they are quality control officers. They will raise the standard to the register. You know, when error is institutionalized, truth will look like rebellion. So carriers of truth will look as if they are fighting something. It's because of the fact that error has been established already. So it will take a pioneering spirit for someone to begin to emphasize what God is saying. It will look like pioneering. Hallelujah. Okay. John chapter 12. Run with me quickly. I want to end now. John chapter 12. So the subject of the seminar was about the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. What is a kingdom? A kingdom is a sphere of the authority of a king. Is that so? It's a domain where a king has authority. You see, in the design of man, because man was designed to be a kingdom agent, there were two significant things. First thing is image. Second thing is likeness. So man was created in the image and in the likeness of God. Image, his image is linked to his authority. His likeness is linked to his character. There are two critical things about the creation of man. He's supposed to behave like God. The reference for man is God. Because he was created after God kind. He was not created after his kind. So the reference for man is God. He was created in the image of God so that he can carry God's delegated authority. He was created in the likeness of God so that he can become a theater that manifests God's nature and God's character.
Are you here? Now, you see, when we talk kingdom, which is a sphere in which God's authority is active, the reason why we cannot overemphasize authority is because God's divine purpose will never be fulfilled outside of the exercise of God's authority. So God has a divine purpose that he wants to execute in your life. Are you here? If you are not born again, God has no authority over your life. Even though he has a purpose for you, he can't fulfill it. You will live and die without being able to key into God's purpose, because there is no basis for which God can exercise what? His authority on your life. Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew you. Before thou camest forth, I sanctified and ordained you as a prophet to the nations. So your purpose existed even before you were formed in the womb. But that purpose will only be actualized if God has the opportunity to exercise what? Now, so in New Testament theology, one of the things also that the apostles had to emphasize was that you need to stay under the authority of the Christ. Jesus 15 times revealed in scripture that he was inferior. 15 times. Inferior to the Father. Are you here? 15 times. And he didn't miss words. My words are not mine, Jesus will always say. I can do nothing of myself. He said that again and again, because his duty was to hide away his own ideas so that he can give expression to the Father. Are you here? Because it was the Father that was tabernacled in him. The Father was his life. And everything he did upon the face of the earth was to manifest the Father. And so Jesus could say, because I've not added my own agenda to the whole process, if you have seen me, then you have seen the Father. That is only possible if Jesus were operating under the authority of the Father and yielding his vessel to the Father for the Father to express himself. In the New Testament, just like the Father was the life of Jesus, Christ is your own life. And you are supposed to be inferior. You should also reveal that I can't do anything of myself. You are supposed to be a theater that manifests Christ. So that when people come to you, they say, you don't need to. If you have seen me, you have seen the Christ. That can only happen if you are operating under his authority. Oh, I don't have time. There is something we call this divine history in human history. At any point in time that you yield to God and you offer your theater for God to be made manifest, the divine history is beginning to find expression. When you shut out God and you begin to live your mundane life, it is human history that is manifesting. I don't have time. I've shown you the divine history in the book of Acts. That thing you see in the book of Acts was God writing his own story. Your life in the spirit. He was imprinting his story in human history. And your life in the spirit is the story that God is telling from heaven. Anytime you tune to the spirit, God begins to tell a story in your generation. The manifestation of the story of God will be efficacious the moment you are operating under his authority. John chapter 12. Let me run away. Are you there in John 12? This, hallelujah. We need time. 8 years of my life, I studied the gospel of the kingdom. I was trained to be a prosperity preacher, success motivation preacher. That's my training. Hallelujah. And what we call success motivation is on the strength of by analysis, is on the strength of the latent power of the soul. The motivational preacher tells you to believe in yourself. The motivational preacher tells you to dream and dream big. Motivational preacher, there are many things he says, but you see, those things he's saying are not of Christ. He is advertising the latent power of the soul, not government under the authority of Christ, if you follow motivational preaching, you are going to be a creature of the rebellious soul, a manifestation of the creature of the rebellious soul. And if you have not yet submitted to Christ and you now gain finances, you'll be lost forever. Because Jesus said that there are two things that have the potential of commanding human worship: God and Mammon. Mammon is a good teacher. Mammon will bend your mind and give you a different perspective. You will see according to Mammon. You will act according to Mammon. Most people that are claiming to have prosperity are victims of the tyranny of Mammon. It is only when we exalt the gospel of the kingdom and the authority of the Christ on our lives, then you become altogether a creature of Christ. Your life becomes a theater through which he can be manifested. Are you here? And so it's not your story that is manifesting through your life. It's God's story. And you are imprinting God's story in human history, such that when your story is mentioned in your generation, what came out of your life was not what you wanted, but what the Christ is. God's story. Remember that your life in the spirit is what? It's a story that God is telling from heaven. John chapter 12, as I run away. If it's the gospel of the kingdom, I can be taking you step by step from till evening, if it's the gospel of the kingdom, because I spent 8 years. When I discovered that that was the heart of apostolic trust, I remained there for 8 years. Hallelujah. Then when I started looking for books to read to support my nomenclature, to support my understanding of this. Are you here? When I started looking for books, I checked the shelf and I discovered that the books were few. And then I stumbled on a man, and I recommend that man till the day of my death. His name is Watchman Nee. Faithful to the text. A man of God. Yes. It was through his works that God laid the foundation that I'm standing on today. And I believe that what I'm doing is a continuation of his ministry. The spirit by which I do what I do, I inherited it from him through his books. And I believe also that he continued from where Paul stopped. And me, I believe that I continue from where he stopped. Meanwhile, you are relieved from believing. I can believe alone on these matters. I believe that the same anointing I have is what Paul had. I believe it. I believe that. That it is the grace that was upon Apostle Paul that I'm walking in now. Yes. If you study your walk with God, you will know the tribe you belong to. And meanwhile, when it comes to the Pauline epistles, if I read it, it's as if it's my writing. The way I understand it, it's as if I was there when we were writing the thing. Because I know the substance that God dropped and what the protocol he wanted to walk through my ministry. You will not know yourself except you find Christ. And when you find Christ, make him king. Make him what? King. And let your vessel become a theater that expresses his will. Then among all nations, your life will stand out as a beacon. A beacon that is so bright that your generation will have to look to you to find meaning. Just because one among us has yielded sufficiently to Christ, he will reveal your texture, the kind of man he wants you to be. And it is different from what you want. Hallelujah. 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 I found myself in him. The Bible says in him does everything consist. So I found myself.
I was reading Watchman's books when I had an impartation. I was reading, what shall this man do, when this spirit came upon me. From that day, my understanding of scripture, that's when I started reading scripture all night. The hunger was too much. Those were the days when the Lord said, make bread and make them in great number, for your generation shall starve, and the bread that you have made will be used to feed your age. Just like Egypt was the bread basket of the then world, make bread. Yes, those were the days when God said that. And that was why I used to study all night. And when I studied the Bible, I now saw lies that our pastors told us, which were not in the Bible. So I said, okay, so if we can study the Bible, we'll know the truth. Then the time came, God now said, those things you discovered, teach it. That's where my problem started. And for 7 years in this city, I was persecuted by senior men of God. They even lied that I used my wedding ring. It was a magic wand that I was using to do miracles. And I stopped wearing it. I'll start wearing it from next year when I'm 12 years old in marriage. It means I paid the price. I paid the price. You will pay the price for truth. You will pay the price for your destiny. You will pay the price to become what God wants you to be. Only men that operate from that kingdom will know that, yes, what they are passing through is not suffering. Jesus paid the price for us. He paid, so everyone will pay a price to be a witness of His. I end with a scripture. You will pay the price. You will pay the price. I never knew that in order for God to commit true power to you, you will suffer because of His name. Not because of your sin, no. His name. You will suffer. That's how you are initiated into the group of men that can reveal Him. You will suffer. People will say things about you falsely because of Jesus. There are many of you here that have been blessed by what we do, by teaching all of that, and you are excited. This thing that is blessing you came through persecution. It came through years of persecution. So you cannot be a true witness if there is no record of your suffering to do the will of God. You know, today, in this our breakthrough theology, suffering is no longer part of the package. I've heard our fathers say, you were born again not to suffer again. I've heard them prophesy, you will not suffer again for the rest of your life. And then infant Christians will say, amen. I wasn't suffering because I did wrong. I was suffering because I was standing for kingdom truth. Many of my brothers and sisters that are co-ministers in the city now felt I was trying to fight their ministry. I don't know them. The last time when IBB Square was last year, I'm coming back there this year now. So I don't even know who started the church. I don't know whose church closed. Do you understand? Not aware. See my friends here. See. Alright? I don't even know who came. Maybe they did. I'm not aware. All I do is to stand here and say, see, I saw in scripture that Jesus is King. Educated people. Professors in University of Agriculture lied against lie. Then when you know the way God responds to persecution is that He gives you power. That's how He responds. Power. power. And then undeniable miracles began to take place. The same professor now brought my book to his church and said, I recommend this book. He didn't come to apologize to me for 7 years of persecution. He just changed. See, this book is good. Meanwhile, why will a professor feel that I'm a threat to him? I don't affect his salary. His salary comes. He does his stuff. Meanwhile, this man, I've never met him face to face till today. And he said that he knows where I do charm. That he himself visited there before. Why? Because a man dared to make Christ king. You can make Jesus a money doubler. You can make him a God that gives false hope by prophesying that next week something will happen when you know it's a lie. But the Jesus we preach is king. We have made him king. We have made him king. I read the scripture, then I end. Or it may seem that the Holy Ghost is resisting me from reading that scripture. So my message has ended. Make him king. When you encounter his reality, make him king. Make him your king. Make him your king. It was Jesus that said, now is the judgment of this world. Now the prince of this world is cast out. And if I be lifted up, if I end up on the cross, the implication is that all men, I'll draw all men. The power of my authority will become valid upon the face of the earth. The power of my kingdom will become valid upon the face of the earth. And all nations, irrespective of tribe and tongue, I will draw all men. I will draw all men. This morning he draws you. And my counsel to you is, make him king. 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 Make him your king. Allow him to determine what you do next. Make him your king. Your life will carry authority if you make him your king. 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 Make him. Make him your king. There's this song you sing. It came into my spirit this morning. You are the wisdom before time began. Yes, what's the first stanza? The wisdom before time began. You reign forever. Your name is ever great. You are the wisdom before time began. You reign forever. Your name is ever great. You are the wisdom before time. You reign forever. You reign forever. Your name is ever. You are the wisdom
Dumb.